What is life like in a city where tap water is toxic? That's the question we're exploring in our Faces of Flint series this week, produced in partnership with Michigan State University journalism students. We're bringing you the stories of Flint residents as they navigate day-to-day life in the midst of the city's water crisis. Today we take you to the Hispanic Technology and Community Center in Flint, where volunteers are helping the Hispanic and Latino community get the resources they need. Their story is reported by MSU journalism student Kelly Waterfall.
When I pull into the parking lot of the Hispanic Technology and Community Center in Flint, the first thing I see is a hand-painted mural on the north side of the building. It depicts hardworking members of the Hispanic community, much like the ones inside I'm about to meet. It's an old bank building with marble columns where loans used to be provided to middle-class families. Today, it's a place where you can get free bottled water, wet wipes, and lead testing kits. The computer center and food pantry is open to anyone, no ID necessary, no questions asked.
Well, there are some folks that are undocumented and, that don't really either have ID or want to show ID.
That's Ralph Arellano, interim director of the Hispanic Center.
We don't want people to have to go through anything. If they want water, we'll give them water.
The reason this is important is because there are so many undocumented immigrants in Flint. The actual numbers are unknown because the immigrants want to stay anonymous. But volunteer Roel Martinez gives an estimate.
It's got to be anywhere from 1,000 to 2,000 people that we have an idea, because some people don't want to participate in the surveys.
Roel says the water crisis has caused a particularly tough situation for these undocumented immigrants.
Well, it's people are getting scared because the people that aren't documented won't answer the door because they're afraid that it could be the immigration and they could get deported. So that's the problem that it's causing, and it's conflicting families because some people are telling them, no, open the door, and they don't because they just don't trust it at this point, especially with the water crisis. People feel uncomfortable.
It's windy, cold, and raining on this particular day in Flint, but that doesn't keep a line of people from forming outside the food pantry.
One, two, three, four.
Inside, the food pantry is cramped with volunteers and families preparing boxes of food. A two-year-old is taking a nap in a box below pictures of two police officers. Those officers are Ryan Martas and Roger Luna, who died in a hunting accident in 2002. To remember the officers, their families created the Martas Luna Association and the food pantry to help the neighborhoods the officers patrolled. Art Luna, a relative of one of the officers, is president of the association. He says they wanted to give back to the community just like the officers did.
So, but we help a lot of things. We have a golf outing every year, and we give out money to Catholic Charities, we give out to Salvation Army. Last year, we raised over $18,000. It started like a little thing, and it's a big thing now. So then we branched out. Now we help the pantry. We named it the pantry. And this is a lot of family here and friends that do it every Wednesday.
The first wave of Hispanic immigrants came to Flint in the late 20s to work in the factories. At first, it was only about a dozen families. But the Hispanic population started to grow quickly after World War II. Ralph said that was both good and bad.
The good news was that we could live anywhere. You know, we didn't have any problems getting a house wherever we wanted to go. The bad news was that we never developed a barrio.
A barrio is a Hispanic or Latino neighborhood. Since they never developed one and instead were dispersed throughout Flint, the Hispanic Technology Center is trying to create that sense of community. Roel says that even though the food pantry is attached to the Hispanic Center, they'll serve anyone.
It's not just any certain race. It's actually the whole neighborhoods. We got people that come out from the east side, the north side, the west side, and the south side, and they do different genders. They feed white people, black people, brown people, yellow people, no green people. No aliens yet, no.
The Martas Luna Association raised over $34,000 to build the food pantry, and last year helped over 11,000 people. Art says each week they give out boxes filled with food to whoever comes.
Everybody gets eggs, cereal, milk, vegetables, very vegetables, in cans. And we got a lot of greens, right? And we got potatoes, too.
The Food Bank of Eastern Michigan provides food to the Martus Luna Pantry. And what's really cool is the food they're providing specifically helps fight lead poisoning. Foods like mangoes, beans, cabbages, and cilantro. And Art says the next delivery will include even more.
And we'll be having the same stuff, plus they're gonna give us chicken and milk. So they bring enough stuff to feed between 400 and 600 families.
In the midst of packing boxes full of food, Roel pauses to express his deep frustration about the crisis.
We're all upset at the fact that it has happened here. This shouldn't happen in this city. We're surrounded by five Great Lakes. This should not happen here in Flint, period. Any city here in Michigan.
But in every tough situation, even a crisis like Flint's, there's always a silver lining. Roel points to an older man standing next to him.
Yes, we're learning how to become like this man. When he first come up here in Flint, the Hispanics were united. It didn't matter if you were Catholic, Baptist, Pentecostal, everybody was united. And within the time, we become Americanized, where we've all went our own different roads. But with this situation, I think it's making all the Latinos come together because we have an overall problem that needs to be addressed through all of us. So it's a plus. I want to say it's a plus.
A positive in the middle of a crisis. As volunteers pack everything up and the last box of food is distributed, the cold and rain blows over and the sun begins to shine. For Current State, I'm Kelly Waterfall.
This piece was edited by Current State producer Katie Cook. Tomorrow on Faces of Flint, we meet Laura McIntyre, a resident who's rooting for her hometown even as she struggles with the stress of the water crisis.
Cities have problems. They, you know, all cities do. But there is a resilience about Flint.
Documentary video shorts from our Faces of Flint series can be seen immediately following the PBS NewsHour. All this week on WKAR-TV. You can also find all of our coverage from the series at WKAR.org.